Welcome to Life as a Nephrologist, a podcast series by the National Kidney Foundation. I'm Laura Brereton, Director of our Clinical Practice Guideline Development Program, KDOQI. Our goal with this podcast is to take a look at nephrology as a career and to encourage medical students and residents to choose it. We're exploring what day-to-day life is like for nephrologists at different points in their careers and highlighting their varying interests, projects, and stories. Today, we are talking with Dr. Leslie Guin, a practicing nephrologist and a basic science researcher at Vanderbilt University. She is an attending physician on the General Internal Medicine Service as well as the Nephrology Consult Service at the Nashville VA Medical Center. Dr. Guin also runs a basic science laboratory that has received funding from both the VA and the NIH. Her research focuses on understanding how growth factors alter the epithelial response to renal injury. She's also the director of the Clinical Applications of Scientific Evidence, or CASE course, for medical students at Vanderbilt, and co-director of the Kidney Summer Research Training Program for medical students. So welcome, Leslie. Thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you very much for the invitation to be part of this podcast.
Great. So we usually start off by asking people why you chose medicine and how you got into nephrology in particular.
Sure. I think the thing that was really appealing to me about a career in medicine is the opportunity to combine an interest in science with the opportunity to really help people at a time where they're in a very vulnerable situation. And I think that nephrology was something that I probably didn't consider at the beginning of medical school, but I had the good fortune of being exposed to a great mentor with Dr. David Warnock at UAB, where I did my medical school, who was the chief of nephrology division there at the time. And his exposure to dialysis and to the inpatient nephrology wards really opened that possibility up to me. I really like the idea of being able to replace the kidney function when someone's kidneys have failed with dialysis. I thought that was very exciting, and it's great to be able to offer life-sustaining therapy for patients. But also, it made me realize there are a lot of opportunities for research because there's a lot of things that we can do to improve the care of patients with chronic kidney disease.
So for you in particular, would you say that the science behind nephrology was one of the main factors that influenced your decision to pursue that field?
Yes, I definitely think that the renal physiology and pathophysiology was really intriguing and part of the reason why I was interested in nephrology. But also, I think that a lot of the patients who have kidney failure are quite sick. And some of my colleagues were intimidated or afraid of taking care of them. And by being exposed to this patient population in medical school, I felt much more comfortable with their clinical care and actually found that that was pretty exciting as well.
That's so interesting. So today you work as both a hospital-based nephrologist and a principal investigator of a basic science lab. I'm just wondering how you balance both roles and how they work together. So maybe could you give kind of an overview of what a typical week looks like for you?
Absolutely. It's a little difficult to say a typical week, but I'll give it a shot. So with my clinical responsibilities, I attend at the VA Internal Medicine and Renal Consult Service for 6 weeks out of the year. And so when I'm on a clinical service, I'm pretty much 100% a clinician. And this works out well so that when I'm not on service, I can spend most of the time managing my basic science laboratory. And this is really a full-time job because it involves applying for grants, managing a team, and providing direction and troubleshooting for the science that they're generating. It's very exciting. There's a lot of excitement with the data generation, but also I found that it's not something that you can do 30 or 40% of the time. It really does require about an 80% commitment of my time averaged out over the year.
Okay, that makes sense. So would you say that the patients you see there in the hospital, are they all very acutely ill as opposed to seeing patients maybe or outpatient, or having, do you still get to have kind of a continuity of relationship with these people?
Well, it's a great question. So most of the patient care I do is inpatient. And as you alluded to, they're very acutely ill patients. So they're usually admitted for one reason or another to the internal medicine service. And so I don't generally follow them up after I'm off service and after they've been discharged from the hospital. And similar with my nephrology consult service. Although sometimes I'm familiar with the patients because we do sometimes see the same patients return to the hospital. It is more acute nephrology care, which is somewhat different from a lot of nephrologists who have an outpatient dialysis practice or a chronic kidney disease outpatient clinic. And although I do miss a little bit of the continuity of care, I think that it would be very difficult to follow the sick patient population while trying to manage running a lab. So I think that for me, the balance of seeing acutely ill patients for a small part of the year and then protecting my time for the rest of the year to devote to my basic science research portfolio, I think that really is ideal for being able to do both. Well, I do occasionally pitch in the clinic, but for the most part, my clinical role is limited to patients who are admitted to the hospital.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So for people who are perhaps considering a career in basic science as well as seeing patients, they should consider that they would probably see patients as a hospitalist, and then it really does take a lot of time to manage a lab.
Absolutely. And there's no real one formula for success. I think there are a lot of different things that can work depending upon your own environment. But I've found that this is what really works for me. I think that there are some people who can have a limited amount of clinic. And if you have a lot of support in terms of nurse practitioners or other ancillary staff, then it may be more feasible. But I found that following sick patients who have advanced chronic kidney disease and are on the edge of dialysis is probably not the best mix with my schedule.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. So can we talk a little bit more about the logistics of running the lab and the research? And so what are your responsibilities there? Is it all about bringing in the funding and managing the staff as well?
Absolutely. In some ways, it's a lot like running your own small business. And like a small business, you have to make sure that money is coming in. And that's where writing the grants comes to play. And although it is a challenging funding climate, I actually enjoy at least the initial parts of writing grants because it's an opportunity to get other people as excited about my ideas as I am. And so I really enjoy that part of things. Obviously, you have to be able to take a lot of criticism and not all your grants will be accepted. But I think once you can accept that and learn from it, it's not all bad. The personnel management part of running a lab is another thing that can be challenging, but also can be quite rewarding. So I usually meet with the people in my lab, and it's a fairly small lab, I only have 3 members right now. And we meet as a group on a weekly basis, and then I also meet with them individually throughout the week and try to help troubleshoot and make sure that the science is progressing well. I also try to make sure that each person in my lab is making their own personal goals and is meeting those goals and making progress towards those goals. And that's where I think it can be really rewarding to see the personal growth that happens over time.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think one thing people will want to know is how did you get to this point to be the principal investigator and to be the one running a lab and getting to choose the topics? I mean, clearly, I'm sure it has its challenges, but I guess, what are some of the things you either had to overcome, or what is really the path to getting to be that person?
A great question, Laura. It is certainly not something that happens overnight. I would say that patience and persistence are probably the two key personality traits that would serve someone well in this role. To start off with, and let me first clarify by saying that I graduated with a major in religion. So I did not have a very strong background in basic science when I started my nephrology fellowship at Vanderbilt in 2005. But I was really lucky to be at a great supportive institution that had a training grant that would support my research training, so I didn't need to earn my salary through clinical work. And I was lucky to join the lab of Dr. Rory Zent, who provided a very strong training in basic science and the molecular mechanisms involved in renal fibrosis, which is the area that I really was interested in studying. But it took a while for me to develop the tools and the knowledge to be independent and on my own. I was in Dr. Zent's lab for a total of 7 years. Now, I wasn't a fellow for 7 years, fortunately. I was only a fellow for about 4 years, but then I had an internal grant from Vanderbilt, followed by a career development award from the VA, which supported my work until I was able to get space on my own and my own independent funding. So I think it's really important not to rush to an independent position, but to really take the time to develop the resources, the tools, and also be able to have the confidence of knowing that you can design your own experiments and operate independently. Although, even though I have my own lab, I still call on other mentors for advice periodically. I don't think that ever ends.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love that you studied religion too before going into science. That's a great background.
Yes, I think it's nice to understand a wide variety of religions to know where people are coming from. And I think it, although it hasn't necessarily helped my basic science work, I think it does help in terms of how I interact with patients.
I bet. That's fabulous. So in addition to running your research and seeing patients in the hospital, do you teach as well, either fellows or medical students?
Yes, I think it's really difficult to be at an academic institution and not have teaching be some component of your activities. And the teaching takes form in a number of different ways. So when I'm on service at the VA, I lead a team of internal medicine residents taking care of patients. So there's obviously teaching that happens in the patient care setting. And similarly with the renal fellows, I'll lead the consult service of nephrology at the VA and we'll teach the nephrology fellows in that context. But also I'm involved in some medical student education. As you mentioned, co-director of this clinical applications of scientific evidence course for medical students, and it helps introduce them to evidence-based medicine and how to read the scientific literature and inform your clinical practice based on a critical reading of the literature. And then I also am involved in a summer program that trains medical students in both clinical and basic research. And that's been a really fun way to expose the next generation to the exciting research that's going on in nephrology, both in the clinical side and the basic science side.
Yeah, those sound like great programs. Did you find that from medical school, you got enough training in research and the processes involved to be able to carry out your own? Or do most people need to go and get additional degree, either a master's in clinical research or a similar program?
Yeah, so I think for clinical research, it used to be that you didn't need a degree and you just sort of learned on the job training. But I think more and more we're seeing people who go into clinical research are better served with additional formal training, as you mentioned, like either through a master's of public health or as Vanderbilt offers a master's in the MSCI in scientific clinical investigation. And I think there are just so many different tools in the toolbox that you need to conduct clinical research that it's important to get this extra training if those resources are available to you. Having said that, I didn't get a PhD, and I am doing bench research. So I don't think that you absolutely have to have the formal training, but I think it really helps prepare you for the skills that you need. And even if you don't get the formal training, you definitely need to have protected time to acquire the skills for doing the type of research that you're interested in doing, whether that be clinical or bench.
Right. How often do you come across medical students or residents that you work with who are interested in bench research? Is that less common than clinical applications of research? What do you find?
Yes, I do think it's less common, although that may be biased by what can feasibly be accomplished during residency. For instance, a lot of the residents have done bench research in the past, but during their clinical training, during their internship and residency, the training is so intense that it's very difficult for them to be engaged in bench research during that process. But a lot of times, some of them will join part of a clinical group and try to do some research that way while they're in training, and then potentially pick back up bench research as part of their fellowship when you have more dedicated time for research. I know that when I was in medical school, I had no idea that I would ever go into bench research. I think it seemed very intimidating to me at the time, and it was so overwhelming just to absorb all the information that was required for taking care of patients that it was hard for me to see beyond that. However, I think what I'd like to emphasize to the medical students is that there will come a time when clinical care of patients is not as challenging as it is for them right now. And then it's kind of exciting to be part of acquiring new information, whether that be through clinical research or bench research.
Yeah, that's really important. I've heard that too, that it is the medical school and early and residency can be overwhelming times. And then perhaps during fellowship, you might have a bit more time to either pursue a research degree or get involved with research yourself. That's really helpful. Do you have any advice that you would give people earlier in their career or medical students who are thinking about becoming a physician scientist?
Absolutely. One piece of advice I would say is to try to meet with as many different people as possible who are doing all various types of research and to try to keep an open mind. I recall that someone told me once, oh, well, if you don't have a PhD, you won't be competitive in bench research. And fortunately, I had other mentors at both my residency at Johns Hopkins and then here at Vanderbilt with Roy Zent, who encouraged me to keep an open mind about bench research, even though I didn't have much training in that. And I think that that was very helpful. The other piece of advice I would say for people who are in their training is not to be in a hurry to finish up and have your own independent position. It's really tough because medical training by itself requires so much time and so much delayed gratification and putting off things like buying a house that a lot of people are in a rush to be finished. But I think the more time that you can invest during your fellowship and training and gaining the skills you need to be successful long term, it's a great investment in your future.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Leslie, for coming on this podcast. I've been told by quite a few of your colleagues and people who you train that they admire you and your work. So I'm sure they're looking forward to listening to this.
My pleasure.
Great. And now we want to hear from our listeners. If you are a medical student or a resident considering nephrology and you have a question about working in the field, or if you'd like to come onto the podcast and talk about your career as a nephrologist, please get in touch. Our email is nkfpodcast@kidney.org.